In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to a small town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a young woman engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and her name was Mary. On coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Mary was deeply troubled by the words of the angel and wondered what they might mean. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a child, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great. God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said, "I do not know how this can possibly happen, since I am a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the child to be born will be holy, will be the child of God. Now know this as well. Your kinswoman Elizabeth will bear a son, and she whom everyone thought was sterile is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you have said." And with that, the angel left her. The Gospel of the Lord. The story of the birth and the infancy of Jesus is found only in St. Matthew's Gospel and St. Luke's Gospel. There is no such account in the Gospel of Mark or in the Gospel of John. And Matthew and Luke are very different one from the other. One of the ways in which they are different is that in St. Matthew's Gospel, Mary never speaks. And all the story about the Annunciation and the birth of Jesus is told really through the eyes of Joseph, her husband, rather than through the eyes of Mary. In Luke's writing, both the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, Mary is a much more central figure. Truly, those events are seen through her eyes. And there are a number of places in which she speaks. It's from that tradition that the church has taken the passage that makes up the gospel reading of today. There's probably no image that has been more, apart from the crucifixion, has been more the subject of an artist's imagination than the image of the Annunciation. Throughout all of history, artists and poets, musicians, sculptors, painters, writers, have seen this as more than fertile ground for their creative imagination. And every one of those pieces of art has, in effect, told us something of the truth. Every one of those pieces of art has captured an aspect of the mystery. And yet every one of those pieces of art is very much influenced by the day and the culture and the spirit of the times. I was with a three-year-old yesterday who told me that we were going to tell stories. And he said the story he had to tell was a very scary story, but it ended up to be not so scary. And he said it was a church story. And he said the story has to do with a big snowstorm and lots of people on the highway, and Jesus was driving a car, and he got hit by a bad guy, and he died, and in the end, he didn't really die. I checked with the parents as to what version of the scriptures they've been reading this kid. Although he had the kernel of truth, huh? He knew the story that Jesus died, but he didn't really die. Put it in the context of the snowstorm of yesterday. Well, in some way, that's what artists do. They take the truth of the scripture, the truth of the event, and they put it in the context of their moment. And they bring their imagination and their spirit and their sense to offer to all the rest of us what that event and what that moment might be. Well, as different as all of the scripture passages are, as different as all of the gospels are about the image of Mary, the mother of the Lord, there is one story that is consistent in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, involving Mary. And that is the story of the event where Jesus is in a house and the disciples are gathered with him. And there's a large number of them. And they're filling up the house, and it's literally impossible to get through that crowd. And Mary and Jesus' relatives arrive outside and they want to see him, but they can't get close. So they send word in by one of the disciples. And this disciple says to Jesus, "Your mother and your relatives are outside and they want to see you." And in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all three of them, Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who are my sisters and my brothers?" Those who hear the word of God and do it, they are mother and sister and brother to me. I would suggest to you that the reason the passage from Luke has been chosen by the church for our reflection on the Sunday that is within a stone's throw of the Christmas feast is precisely that you and I are called to reflect on Mary, the disciple of Jesus. And that those qualities present in her are the qualities that you and I are invited to have as we approach the feast. We're invited to hear, to be open to hear the word, to be open to hear the word in the context of our day, our life, to be open to hear that word and allow that word to sink in. And the second quality that we're asked to strive for is the gift of courage, that once we have heard the word, we have the courage to do it. We have the courage to act it in our lives.